On this episode of Rock Down South, we sit down with Need to Breathe. This is an incredible episode, so you definitely don't want to miss this one. We hope you all enjoy. Let's go.
Hi, this is Josh from Need to Breathe, and you are listening to Rock Down South.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Rock Down South, your home for rock and country music. Today, we had the pleasure of speaking with Josh Lovelace from the rock band Need to Breathe. And this is probably one of my favorite episodes I've ever recorded. Need to Breathe is one of my personal favorite bands, and they have so many great tunes. They have rock songs, chill songs, dance songs, love songs, really the whole gamut. And Josh is a fantastic interview. We talk all about how he joined the band, the background behind some of my favorite songs, and of course, their new album Caves, coming out September 15th. And a whole lot more for you guys. I think y'all will enjoy this episode. So without further ado, here's the show. What's up, Josh? How you doing today, man?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Really excited to talk Need to Breathe today. We got the new album coming out September 15th, titles Caves. This is an exciting time for you guys.
Yeah, man, we're pumped. This is crazy enough. This is record 9 for us. So, you know, it's weird. It's like, you know, we get excited about records, but we're like, are people still going to be excited about the 9th record? You know, but it seems like they are. We definitely are. We're more excited about this one than we've been in a long time. We're pumped.
Yeah, well, people are still just finding out about you guys, and yeah. I'd probably just get into it right now, but how I figured out about you guys, heard of you guys, before we jump into it. But yeah. I think Bear said it pretty good in an interview or something I heard one time, that Need to Breathe is the biggest band that you've never heard of, which I think is totally accurate.
Yeah, man, we get that a lot.
Yeah, my wife actually is the one who turned me on to you guys, which is kind of funny because I'm the music guy, you know, does the recommending. But she's actually been a long-term fan ever since, I think, like 2006. She got a free CD at Kohl's at checkout for the Daylight album. And, you know, when you get CDs, they just stick around. And so she'd been listening to Need to Breathe for years.
That's amazing.
Which is funny because she was, of course, you know, into the pop and the country more, but she's been a long-term fan.
I love that. Man, that's a good marketing. We should get back in touch with Kohl's. They did some good work for us back in the day.
I think that's the story. I mean, one of the guys maybe could remember back then a little bit more, since I think you started a little bit later.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. And it's funny, I was a fan too. So I mean, like I remember actually I was a fan like around The Heat, which was the next record. And I remember buying The Heat at Walmart as a fan. So somebody was like, y'all should check out this band called Need to Breathe. So yeah, I get it. And that's awesome that she's been a fan that long.
Yeah. Yeah. So, of course, I'm more of the rock guy. You know, I like the big songs of yours, you know, like Happiness and Hard Love, but I'm just a fan of Bear's voice. You know, it's got that really interesting tone to it. And you know, I think I just have a soft spot for people that just try to sing their butts off and it shows, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how he does it. So I'm a fan too. I'm always kind of keeping an eye on him because it feels like he's singing so hard. I'm like, is he going to lose his voice? And somehow he always goes to another level. And yeah, he's a different breed of a singer for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the stuff that impresses me. You know, I love good vocals and, you know, you guys have many great songs that I listen to, you know, not just the hard ones, you know, I'm a sucker for those, but you know, I think probably out of most of the bands that I listen to, I think you guys probably have more kind of songs on the softer side that I enjoy listening to more often. You know what I mean? Those heartfelt ones and the love songs.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I do like turning on The Fish and hearing a couple of the songs in rotation as well, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. You know, like for us, I mean, we kid around and say, you know, we're the biggest band you ever heard of. A lot of that kind of comes down to we're kind of all over the map as far as like our sound and like genre wise, we fit into a lot of different boxes and also don't fit into a lot of boxes. We kind of like have our own thing. And I think that actually helps us. And kind of what you're saying, it's like, you know, we have songs that kind of go in all different places and kind of meet people where they're at and kind of create our own little playlist for ourselves, which is kind of nice for a music lover. I think that helps us.
Oh, yeah. And so before we get a little bit further in the interview, I kind of wanted to maybe take a step back and talk about, you joining the band, but tell me about your growing up. I think you are from Knoxville, if I'm correct, and joined in 2011.
I'm from Knoxville. Grew up in Knoxville and actually still live in Knoxville. And grew up playing music and wanting to be in bands and played in a bunch of other, bands out of high school and kind of traveled around and toured. And had been a fan of Need to Breathe for a while when they came out and kind of had some mutual friends and had they kind of found out who I was through some friends and that I played and we became friends from that and then I got the call about it was late 2010 I came and I played on The Reckoning album was my first kind of thing that I did and then we went on tour with Taylor Swift after that and was out for about like I think it was 95 shows. We were direct support for her. So that was my first tour with the band, which was kind of a whirlwind way to jump in. So
How old
yeah,
were
I've been
you
with them
then
for a long time. I
when you went on
was,
tour with
oh
Taylor
man,
Swift?
I would have been like 26, 27, something like that. Yeah, crazy.
Starting at the top there.
Kind of, yeah, kind of hard to beat. I mean, like, and we were all, I mean, like, this is 12 years ago now. So like, we were all just like wide-eyed, like what is happening kind of thing. It was a big deal for the band. You got to play in front of a lot of crowds, big crowds, and we always kid around about it because at the time, this was kind of like the Princess Speak Now tour. Like she was just like it wasn't like the edgy Taylor Swift that's there's some stuff now that's like a little bit more edgy. So this was like prime time Taylor Swift, like tiaras and whatever. Like so like we were playing for these big crowds of thousands and thousands, but like there were like 13-year-old kids kind of just looking at us like, who are you guys? Like what are you gonna do? But what's funny is now 12 years later they're 25 coming to our show. So it's kind of funny how that works out, but it was a wild 6 7 months there for sure.
That's awesome. And so I think the rest of the band now lives in Nashville, if I'm correct.
So most actually we're kind of all over. So Bear's in Nashville, and Seth's in Chattanooga, and then Tyler's in Minneapolis, and Randall's actually in Asheville. So we're a little bit spread out, but we're based in Nashville, so we're there all the time.
Okay. How's moving to Nashville, change things for the band? It seems like you guys are cranking out more tunes than ever now.
I think it's actually been really good for the band to be based out of Nashville for a lot of reasons. I think for Bear, he loves to work and he loves to be creative and be around people that are creative. And so I think him being in Nashville and being able to be around songwriters and musicians that are, just always doing something and he's just that he loves it. And I think the band was based out of Charleston and there was a music scene there, but not as much of a songwriting, it's just different, so I think for him it helps, and then for the band I think it's been really good for us to be based out of Nashville because we're able to make connections but also just like travel's way easier in and out of there and for for me personally Tennessee's always been home, so it's awesome to get to be close to home a little bit more, which has been great.
So let's talk about the new album that's coming out, Caves, out September 15th. Now, I saw the first part of the documentary, A World Without a Mirror, Part One, with you guys going to Utah to make the album. That looked like a really beautiful place. Tell us about, making the album. I think you did it in a couple of places, but tell us about that and the direction you guys were looking to go with it.
Yeah, so we started we always we've all we're always working. We're always working on new music. We kind of like push ourselves to be creative as much as we can and as often as we can and then kind of figure out what we're making as we're making it. kind of thing. We don't necessarily plan it out a lot of times, but this time we went up to Utah to just kind of demo out some songs. We didn't actually know what we were doing, if we were making an album, we were making an EP, we were just kind of getting in there to scratch the itch of creativity, whatever. But ended up, having doing three or four songs that we were supposed to just do pre-production and demos, and ended up being like, man, these sound kind of awesome as they are, and the band's kind of, firing on all cylinders, and so it kind of like jump started the record a little bit. We actually did, one of the songs we did up there was a song called "Talk of the Town," which we released as a single last summer. So we had been sitting on some of this stuff for a little while, but that definitely was like the beginning, of the record. And then we did some writing while we were on tour last year and finished some other stuff. And then we went to Minneapolis at Pachyderm Studio, where Nirvana did In Utero, and a bunch of other bands have done classic records there, and spent about 2 weeks finishing the record. So yeah, it was a really a long process, because even though we broke it up into two sections, we were working on the road for months and months at a time. So the whole record took about a year and a half to make, which
Wow.
for us is probably about normal. But definitely felt like we were sitting on some stuff for a little while. And so we're excited for people to finally hear this record.
And if you could describe sonically, maybe the direction, is this getting into some different territory than before?
I actually think it is in some ways, but I also think it reminds me, if I were looking at this as a Need to Breathe fan, it reminds me of like The Reckoning, or even like The Outsiders, of this, of a big sound. I remember when the band was making The Reckoning, it was like, how much can we put on this record to make it sound bigger? We need to be bigger and bigger and bigger. It was always like, how can we make this thing feel like it's, larger than life? And I think we kind of went there with this record too, where it's just, we would record a drum part and then we're like, man, I love this drum part, but what if we did it with a different set of drums? Okay, let's do it with a different drummer altogether just to get a new feel. Well, you know what? Actually, let's just put both drummers on the same thing and just track them both. And stuff. Like, it was always just like experimental in that way. But at the same time, what's great about it, and I think, is we kept saying to each other, let's make a record where we're going straight through the through the doorway without hitting the sides with our shoulders on the way. Like, let's have an idea and go for it. Like, go straight through and not get caught up in the nuances of like, should we do it this way, or have we done this before, or are people going to like this, or let's just go for it. And I think that gave us the freedom to make something that feels familiar, but it also feels fresh and new for our band.
Yeah, speaking of big songs, The Cave, which you guys, I believe, open up the album. I was a bit surprised by that one. I like that one. That thing comes out really, really hard. I like that.
Thanks. Yeah, what's funny is like Bear and I wrote that in a hotel room with another writer, and all we had was like an acoustic guitar and a MIDI keyboard, and we were like, how can we make this big rock song? How can we make this thing like the biggest, like, just like edgy? And we were like really having to force our creativity and our dreamlike, like state to be like, this is what it's gonna sound like. It's the drums are gonna be huge, and the electric guitar, like the whole thing felt kind of silly, and we're screaming in a hotel room, and it ended up being like such a rock and roll thing. But it's funny to think back on that now, of where it started and now where it ended up. It's really fun. It's fun to play live too. People have been really reacting to it, so we're pumped about it.
That's funny. Yeah, I don't think you guys have had a song that big, that rocking in the past couple albums, so.
It's been a minute. Yeah, I mean, I really think like Oohs and Ahs on The Reckoning, it reminds me of that, which is it's an angsty, it's an aggressive thing, which I've always loved hearing Bear sing that kind of thing, and I think the band does really well playing that kind of stuff. So that's fun to bring that back.
More rocking. I love it. I love it. I watched the music video. That's how I heard that song first. You know,
Oh,
full
nice, nice.
loud music video, great video.
Yeah.
So I got the full experience. So
Awesome. That's good.
I think that one's probably re gonna resonate live real, real well. But I mean, you guys are
Yeah.
already playing it live, it sounds like.
Yeah, we just so we've been doing some one-offs this summer, some festivals, and we've always been a band that's just like some people would say, like, don't play the new stuff before the record's out. And we're like, let's go try it out and see what if we like it and see if the fans like it and see if we've always been that way. So we'll play new music, try to play it ahead of time. And we've been playing some of the record, some of the songs we've been playing before the record's out, and it's been really fun to see people react to it, especially the Cave. We've actually been opening the show with that one, and it's if you haven't heard it, it is a little bit like jarring, like what is happening, but people seem to be digging it, which is cool.
Is there a song off the album that you're excited for people to hear? Anything in particular that hasn't been released yet?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of them, like I we being an artist that makes the record and then finishes it and lives with it for a minute, I've been listening to the record for a minute, and there's been some surprises that have come back and been like, man, people are gonna really like, if you're a fan of our band, you're gonna love this, or like if you're just a fan of whatever, I think it's great. There's a song on the record called Temporary Tears, which we did in Pachyderm in Minnesota. And it's actually a live take, which is cool. So like Bear singing it with Tyler playing electric. They're just at the same time, like in the room. And there's some great stuff on the documentary. The second part, you'll get to see us kind of in the studio making that. And it's just really emotional. And we actually had our friend Foy Vance, who we've toured with before, and he's one of the best voices and best songwriters that we've ever been around. Probably just the best in general, whether we've been around him or not. He's awesome. So so we did a song, that song with him. He sang on it, and to hear Bear and Foy, kind of just like it's almost like they're singing in a boxing ring. They're just going back and forth, and it's one of the most meaningful and special moments on the record, and I think people are going to really like they're going to resonate with it for sure. It's really special, so I'm pumped for people to hear that one.
Oh, that sounds cool. I can't wait to hear that one.
Yeah,
That sounds cool.
man, it's going to be really cool.
So when it comes to all the albums that you've had a hand in making, is there a song that comes to mind that the audience, maybe the reaction surprised you, either maybe the song resonated stronger, emotionally or lyrically, or maybe it was just a bigger hit than you thought? What kind of comes to mind?
Yeah, there's been a couple of songs like that. I think for us, we are always surprised when songs that don't get a lot of attention are like that they're not singles or they don't have a music video or something like that end up being a thing with our fans and like kind of staples to them or like live staples or whatever. And there's been a couple of those. One of them is a song called Banks of Your River, which was on Out of Body. We never really released it as a single. It was never like intended on being like this big song, but it's actually like one of our most streamed songs. People have just really connected with the lyric and the song. And another one is Let's Stay Home Tonight, which is on Hard Love. Never a single, never was like never had a music video, never had a lot of attention on it, but it's one of our higher streaming songs and fans just really reacted to it. I think it's just like, we've talked about it a lot. After a 20-year career, nine records in, like the fans really respond to songs that like allow them to live their life to it, whether that's like a love song for their spouse or for their kids, or a song for a wedding or a funeral or graduation or road trips, like whatever it is, like if we can be the soundtrack to the moment that they're living in, like that ends up being monumental for them and for us to be able to be a part of that. So I think that is part of it, why some of those songs just like have a life of their own. But we're always surprised by it. We're surprised by songs that we there's been songs that we wish that we put all of our eggs in that basket. We're like, this is the one, put our finger on it, we're like, this is the one that's going to be the biggest song, and then it didn't do anything. So we have that thing too. So it's like we believe in it and then it doesn't work, or vice versa. So you just never know. But we as writers and artists, like we know that the listener and the person that's actually consuming the art and the music, they're actually like the co-writer on the song. They're the ones that take it the distance after we release it. So Yeah, we're always surprised by it. But that's like the best part of our jobs. That's why we love it. It's just to see people take it and make it their own.
Yeah, I mean, like I mentioned, I'm a rock guy. I like the rockers, but I would say "Let's Stay Home Tonight" is probably one of my favorite songs of yours. Funny enough,
No, that's awesome.
it is a
That's
fantastic
awesome.
song. Gets you all the feels, you know what I mean? I
Yeah.
love that one. I think my wife loves that one as well. So yeah, that one's
Yeah.
yeah, it's kind of funny how that one wasn't a
It's a,
single.
I know it really, what was funny is I remember, and I can remember this, some of these things a lot, but like, I remember Bear bringing that song, to the band, and he just had like it was such a simple chorus. And I remember him singing it in the van to us. We were driving somewhere. I can't remember where we were going, but he was like, "I don't know. What about this song? Let's Stay Home Tonight." He started singing. I was like, that's like the most simple. It's not like I feel like I've heard it before, but I've never heard it before. And I was like, "This is brilliant! I love it." And then when it said, "Don't have to put clothes on," I was like, "Our fans are they're gonna love this. They're gonna laugh at that. They're gonna think this is awesome." Like, so I do. I love that song too. And I'm glad it has reacted with fans over the years. And it's still, like I said, it's still one of our most streamed songs, even after all these years. It's crazy.
And you guys still play it live, I'm pretty sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we do. Yeah. I mean, it feels, and when we play it and Banks and songs like that, they feel like the hit. We feel, it feels like the one that they're waiting on, which is so funny that and that's just where I do feel really fortunate that our band is that way. 'Cause, we were never a band that like had the big song that they're waiting on by the end of the night. And then, all the rest of it is like, they're looking at their watch waiting for the hit. Like that, we were never that band. We never had the one song that did it. So we've had little songs along the way that kind of let brought us to where we're at, but they all mean something to the fans and to us. So it's cool to be in a band where that's our journey and our story. It's pretty cool.
And with so many different songs that you guys have, how do you guys manage the direction of the band? I know you guys, of course, play in a lot of different genres and areas, the faith market as well a bit. I'm sure there's, people and, management and other folks trying to push you in different directions. How do you guys, I guess, thread that needle or, do what's true to you guys? It seems like it could be, you're getting a lot of influence maybe.
Yeah, we've always, I mean, honestly, we've tried to go with our gut and do the thing that feels most natural and most honest to us. And sometimes that's with some adversity from outside people or, labels or whatever that try to tell us, "Hey, I think you should be this." I remember the band, Bear tells this story about when the band was first starting out, someone from the label said, "Yeah, I like what you guys do, but I wish you were more international. Like sound more international." Like, what does that even mean? Like, what are you trying to say? So like people have always tried to say, like, don't put a banjo on the song. Like that doesn't make it, for us, like in order for us to be ourselves and do the thing that we feel like, we want to do, we have to do the thing that we want to do. So, I think that over the years we've just learned to follow our instincts and I think that has served the band well over the years, just to be able to do what we love. And now, like 9 records in, for the most part, we get to kind of, we don't have as much kickback. Like most people are like, "All right, you kind of done this a couple times. I feel like, you're good to go." I remember we actually were making, I think it was our fourth record or fifth record, and the producer came in and was like, "Guys, I'm really excited to work with you guys. It's really cool that I could be a part of your debut record." And we were like, "This is our fifth record." And he's trying to tell us like how to do it. And like, "If you'll just trust me, I'll teach you how to do it." That guy didn't last very long. I think we fired him pretty quick. But after, when you get into nine records, honestly, 5 records, you kind of know what you want to say. And we get to we that's kind of the best. We get to do what we want, and we trust each other in the band, which makes it really easy to make something that we're proud of, and we have with this one for sure.
Yeah, I think there's still some room for you guys to get a little bit more into the country market. I think the country market has expanded so much that I think they could easily incorporate you guys without any change in your sound. I hope to see you guys maybe
Yeah.
get a little bit more into on the country radio here in the future. Because, I mean, you guys definitely didn't sell out and turn into a country band overnight when it became popular a few years ago. So I have mad respect for that. But I do think that they've expanded the sound enough to where they can include A Need to Breathe in there.
Yeah. And, we, you know, it's I think it's cool. Like, you know, it definitely feels like the country market has expanded to where, like, you could do it's all kind of like it's all playlists, really. So it's like, I like this song and this song kind of goes with it. And I make my own playlist and, you know, whatever. So, and being in Nashville, like based in Nashville, we've met so many people in that world that it just feels really natural to us. And, you know, it's cool. Like, you know, we, on the last record, we had a song with Carrie Underwood and been friends with her for a while now. And then on this new record, we collaborated with the Old Dominion guys, Carly Pierce as well. So like we definitely, like, you know a lot of people in that world. And I think it does make sense. We opened for Faith and Tim last or a couple years ago too. So like that stuff kind of does feel pretty natural. So I don't think we could ever, we'll always probably wear some kind of hat on stage, but I don't think we're at the place where he's ready to wear a cowboy hat, but you never know. You never know. I don't know.
So from what I hear, I think you're a big Braves fan, Atlanta Braves.
Oh man, the biggest. And you know what, man? I've been a Braves fan my whole life, and it is so much fun to be a Braves fan right now. You know what I mean? It's the best.
I live a few miles from the stadium. It's great.
Oh, man.
And actually, the first time I saw Need to Breathe Alive was after a Braves game on SunTrust in SunTrust Park, July 16th, 2017.
Oh, man, it was so hot that day. Oh, my gosh.
It was a scorcher.
I remember that. It was so hot. Yeah. And we brought our families to the game too, which was cool. So I'm actually, my name's Joshua Aaron and I was named after Hank Aaron. My dad was a big Braves fan. And so my son's name is Henry. So we kind of kept that going. So been Braves fans since I was a little kid. So got to take him to the game and like run around on the field and, like, it was just, I got a picture. I don't know if we're supposed to have done this or not, but we were walking through the back of the park and there's like Hank Aaron's parking spot. And so I got a picture of my son, like laying in his parking spot and in the parking garage and all this stuff. So like, it was awesome. And yeah, man, all of us are massive Braves fans. So like we're going on tour this fall and we know that the Braves are going to win the World Series. So we got to figure out how to go to the games while we're on tour. So your listeners are hearing it first, but if we have to cancel some tour dates to go to some World Series, I'm just kidding. We won't do that, but it is tempting because it's going to happen.
That's funny. That was a good show. That was a hot, hot day. I'm pretty sure you guys played directly in the sun. I don't think there was any shade for y'all.
We did. There wasn't. And I remember it like, cause there's some, we had some pictures. I think we all wore jackets, which it's kind of like a thing you do when you're in a rock band. It makes no sense. But like, if it's hot outside, let's wear a jean jacket out in the sun. That sounds fun. And we did. So it was brutal.
Yeah. It was an early game too. It's not like, I think I saw Jake Owen there and it was a night game. That finished up. No, this was like, it was bright out. Either it finished up at 3 or it finished up at 6. Yeah. It didn't really matter.
It was awful. There was no relief too. We were at second base on the second, you know, the stage out there. And I was like, this is, but it was awesome. We were like, we were just so excited to be there. Cause it's one thing when we get to do really cool things sometimes, but when you get to do it at the thing that you love, like at a Braves game, it's like, oh, this is the best. So, we had the time of our lives. It was awesome.
I also saw the full show August 24th, 2018. I think it's the Forever on Your Side tour in Alpharetta. Yeah. And I think I was in the pit and that was a packed show. It was awesome. Incredible show.
Yeah, man. That was fun.
Funny story about that show. Yeah. So I know Need to Breathe is not, you know, known for pulling a lot of drinking craziness, like maybe that the country shows over the summer might bring in. And I heard from somebody that worked at that venue that the Need to Breathe show got beat out in alcohol sales by an unlikely suspect that played the month before. The Kids Bop show, I think, sold more alcohol than you guys. And this
Oh
is
no.
unconfirmed, but I think it's those parents that needed some drinks to get through
Oh,
that
they
show.
need it. They need it. They got to get through the Miley Cyrus covers that they wish they would heard. Actually, hear my Miley Cyrus. Oh man, I mean, like, yeah, that's amazing. Actually, that makes me feel like we need to up our game, or we need to be playing some more Kids Bop tunes at our shows. Maybe that's the ticket. I don't know. That's funny.
This is unconfirmed. This is, secondhand, third-hand information, so it could be totally wrong.
Hey, well, it wouldn't surprise me. So I actually do some on the side. I have a kids project, so I do some children's music, and
That's right.
so I understand that world a little bit, and I bet it may not be confirmed, but I would go ahead and say it's probably true.
So, Josh, I know you play keyboard, and I've seen you play some acoustic guitar on some acoustic songs that you guys do live. Did you ever try playing both live, or is that like not an option that you could just, do acoustic and let Bear run around the stage without a guitar for a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it. I mean, I kind of like to play a lot of different things. So, like, for me, a lot of times I'll end up playing the thing that needs to be played at the moment. So, like, whether that's a mandolin or acoustic guitar, or I've been known to play bass, or I can play drums a little bit if I need to. So, somebody told me when I was growing up that if you wanted to get a job in the music industry, try to learn as many instruments as you can. So I kind of like fake my way on a bunch of them. So, but piano is definitely the one that if I had to bet on it, I could keep my job on that one. Everything else is up for grabs.
That's funny. That's funny. Yeah, I think it'd be interesting dynamic to see Bear run around without a guitar. Maybe switch it up for a song or two. I don't know. I'm always about the front men that I see switching it up, and if they're strapped to an instrument, getting off of it for a little bit. That's just personal thing for me.
So he's been doing that a little bit lately on this on these run on this run that we're on now. So I think he's getting more and more comfortable with that. I think it, for a long time, yeah, he had to have a guitar in his hand, and I get it too. Like it's just what it's part of your who you are. So I think it's a new thing for him. Yeah, he kept trying to try that. I think it's cool. I think it's good for him to run around. Tries to go out in the crowd and shake some hands and stuff, which is fun too. So,
Oh, nice. Nice.
yeah.
So when it comes to live shows, what's the worst show that you've ever played that comes to mind? Maybe it was a bad performance you had, bad crowd, small crowd, or maybe just a weird venue.
Oh man, that is a good question. So the one that comes to mind right now is, and I don't, it wasn't even that bad, I guess, but it was just really weird. This wasn't that long ago, funny enough, but we played at like, we got hired to play like a congressional dinner, or like a bunch of politicians kind of thing. It's like a private event. And it wasn't like one party or the other. It was just kind of, I think it was just like a bunch of people there. And that we were on a run of shows where we were playing like the big rock show. Like, people don't know, like we do this big rock show where we have like all the lights and the production and smoke, and it's just rock and roll. But then we have like this acoustic show sometimes that we do where we kind of strip it down, and it's everything's smaller, and we're able to sing, tell stories, and all that stuff. But we had our rock and roll rig, like the show out. But we were like, well, we can do the acoustic show, but we can play our rock and roll instruments, which is a terrible idea. So, like, we show up in this venue, it's like this theater, and we brought in this massive production, all this big backdrop, and like the drums are 8 feet in the air. I mean, it looked ridiculous. And they were like, all right, we're going to play acoustic. And I kid you not, the room, I think, sat like 3,500, but there were like 300 people there. Because they had just, there's a private event, like they didn't have it, and they were spread out all over the place. And so we're like playing acoustic for like 300 politicians who'd never heard of us. And I was like, what are we doing? Well, guys, what are we doing? What are we doing right now? And then we packed it all up and went and rocked it out at some like dirty rock club the next night. I mean, like, it was just such a weird thing. But we've done a bunch of weird stuff over the years for sure. But that one's the freshest. That wasn't that long ago, so.
I heard in an interview that you went to the restroom during a show when there was like a guitar solo or something and maybe got locked out.
Oh yeah, I did that. Yeah. So I'll never forget. It was on the Reckoning tour. We used to have this moment in the show. This was 2012. So this is 11 years ago. But there was a moment in the show where Bear and Bo would sing like a couple of songs acoustic down front, and everybody else would like go off stage and kind of like bring the focus down front to them, and we would all just take a break. Well, I had to go to the bathroom so bad, and I remember I ran out to go outside and to the dressing room or whatever. Yeah, and I went out there and I could not get back in. I was like banging on the door, and it was Outsiders was the next song, and I finally made it in for the second verse. I missed the whole intro, first verse and first chorus of Outsiders because I couldn't get it on stage. So I'll never do that again, even if I have the time. I have anxiety about it since then, so I won't do that again. But yeah,
That's
that is true. That
hilarious.
really did happen. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit more about the solo music you have. I know it's kids-oriented songs.
Yeah. So yeah, when I started having kids, I did my first kids record back in 2017, and it's just it was a bunch of songs that I would actually demoed for my son and daughter, for them to be able to hear my voice when I was on tour, because we toured so much. And then I just kind of got really inspired by it and kind of produced them myself and brought some friends like Ben Rector and Ellie Holcomb and this band called Spirit Family Reunion, and some other friends of mine to be on it. And yeah, so I've released two other ones now, so I've done three altogether. And it's just fun for me to like use a different part of my brain and creativity and to do something that my kids enjoy and their friends enjoy. And then when we're not on the road with Need to Breathe, I can go and do some kids shows and travel and do that. It's really fun. It's not kids bop. It's not that big, but it is a lot of fun. If they want an opener, I would totally open for them. So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
That's cool. How old are your kids?
Now they are 9 and 6, which is actually crazy. They'll be 10 and 7 next month, which is crazy because that was 6 years ago when I did the first record. So now they're not as in. They really love Need to Breathe, which is cool. Like for a long time, they'd listen to our music at night sometimes because they know it as Daddy, even though I'm not singing, they're singing, but they just know it as my music. But now that they're getting older, they actually request it and ask a lot of questions about it. And yeah, so they dig it. And they're coming to a show in a couple of weeks, which is fun. Always fun to have them out. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to be a dad and be in a band. It's hard, but it's cool. They get to see their dad do what he loves and get to come out and hang out on the bus and all that fun stuff. So it's really cool.
So these next questions are what we close with and ask everyone. So first question, what would you tell your 21-year-old self?
Oh man. I would tell myself that it goes by so fast and to enjoy it, and to take your time and like take lots of pictures and just slow your heart rate down, slow it down so you can actually really enjoy what you're doing, because you wake up and you're 20 years later and you're like, oh man, where did the time go? So yeah, I tell myself slow down.
Good answer. Next question. What are you drinking lately? And if you don't drink alcohol, it could be anything refreshing you like to drink.
So I haven't been drinking alcohol for a little while now, but I have been drinking these Vibes drinks. They're called Vibes. It's like CBD drinks. So we got them on the road not long ago, and they're just great. They're like super chill. Like I'll drink one at night, and yeah, it's just like refreshing, like CBD drink. I don't know, that or LaCroix. I can kind of live off the two of those things.
Oh yeah, I love LaCroix. I'll have to check out this vibe drink. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, they're cool. Yeah, they're great.
And so, as you know, this is Rock Down South. So, what is something, or maybe a couple things that come to mind that you love about the South?
Oh man, I love a lot about the South. There's, for me growing up in the South, I love that people, they love rock and roll. I remember as a kid, just like my dad used to roll down the windows in his car and just like turn up rock and roll. And, it was one of those vibes that you'd just be driving down the road and everybody's like, I don't know, it just feels like home to me, just to think about. It's hot, but like the rock and roll is playing. It's just, there's nothing better. So, and to be from the South and live in the South, it's I'm proud of where I come from. And yeah, man, it's there's nothing like it. And grits,
Oh,
which is
grits, of
mine.
course, of course. Hey, thank you so much, Josh, for being a part of the show today. Where can people find and connect with y'all online?
Yeah, man, you can go to needtobreathe.com and all the, socials are all like at Need to Breathe. And yeah, come say hello. And then we're going on tour this fall with Judah and the Lion on the Caves World Tour. It's gonna be fun. So come say hello.
All right, new album Caves is out everywhere September 15th. Everybody go make sure you give it a listen. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to the show today. We hope y'all enjoyed this episode. I had an absolute blast talking with Josh. He's a super nice guy and was really fun to talk with. Need to Breathe is an absolutely incredible band that I have personally enjoyed listening to for a number of years now. And this episode was really special for me to record. So make sure to go follow Josh and Need to Breathe on all of their social media pages and check out their latest album, Caves, coming out September 15th. You can find all our content at rockdownsouth.com and make sure to go follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter for the latest updates. Leave us a 5-star review if you can. We would really appreciate it. And as always, the views and opinions expressed by our guests are theirs and don't necessarily reflect our own. I'm Mark, and you've been listening to Rock Down South. See y'all next time.